I hope you have heard my talk, she said. If you have followed it, I clearly say there are two aspects of religions. One is the outer, the other is the inner. We have taken steps as an outer aspect of religion. Reading of scriptures, saying of prayers, performance of certain rites and rituals. And that has been explained to you, their scope, what they are meant for. Reading of scriptures, if rightly understood with somebody who knows the world, that creates an interest to know God. And that ends there. Saying of prayers and performance of rites and rituals, they are meant for developing love and devotion in us for God. These are good actions, have their own reactions as good results. These are meant for the preparation of the ground for the other way, which is higher, to be taken up when you rise above body consciousness. All these pertain to the body. These are meant for the preparation of the ground, remain in some religion. But remain in this, in any religion, and only taking the preliminary steps and not taking the higher, you do not derive full benefit from following that religion. A true Christian is one who sees the light of God. And all others have defined the same way. So what you have been given is not religion, but spirituality. Well, spirituality is not religion. Religion is a social body, a school in which you are designed to attain spirituality. Spirituality, what it is self-analysis of soul from mind and outward faculty, knowing oneself and being in tune with God. This is what is, strictly speaking, spirituality. It is no spiritualism, no spiritism, no mesmerism, no hypnotism. So while you follow the first step, when you have been given the higher step, some man came up to me yesterday that he is putting in 3 hours for yoga, Hatha yoga. What should he do? Well, go on doing Hatha yoga. That will lead you to give you good body. Why not give some time to make your body fit? Not 3 hours. Say half an hour something there to make your body fit. Rest 2.5 hours for this higher purpose. You follow my point? What I say? You have been given to be true Christian. You have been given a contact with the world, which is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. You have been given something that God manifests in any human form. He is the light of the world. They are children of light. When they come to the world, they give all the light to all and everybody. You follow my point? So you are not to leave any religion as a social body. But you have got something higher. No, you get something higher, still you spend your whole time, 24 hours, for that and not for this what you have got. What's the use of having this? I am not changing your religion. If I change, I will have to form a new one. And new rules, new regulations, new rights and everything. Why to waste time in that? But only to think because you are a Christian or a Hindu or a Muhammad and you will be just accepted at the court of God, that is 100% wrong. Unless you become true to God, you come in contact with the light of God and follow the masters who came in the past, they gave universal religion, you cannot be accepted at the court of God. You follow me no way? You remain where you are. Remain your relations continue. Go to the church, you get the first step with the reference. When they are taking the further use, can utilize that time for higher purpose, you have got away. You are not to hate them, you see. You, those who have come in contact with those you have been already, love them. And if you got something higher, tell them friendly, but this is something the further way up in our own scriptures, you see. So you are not, when anybody tells you only, compared to, they must make clear the point, you see, that this is the value. We do reference. If not, you will have to create another religion. What for? Those religions which have stood the test of times, why not remain there? By changing outer forms, etc., does not bring you closer to God, mind that, unless you follow the teachings, what the Master gave. Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Did he not say that? He said, I am the light of the world. That Christ lived before Jesus and after too. Christ's power was the God power which manifested that the human power of man, Son of Man. We have great respect for Son of Man, a true soul, that God will work. But that continues forever. In the Unity Temple, I gave a talk. Well, I asked him, what are your principles? Then he gave me, who was Christ? And there it is given, Christ lived before Jesus. What is the difference between the two? God power, God into special power, world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That God power, or the Guru power, or the Master power, or the Christ power is the same. That lives forever, before and after. Their teachings have been universal. So you have got something diamond-like. If you go on like to just, you have business in the silver, you may do if you like, but the diamonds are more valuable. Go on within where you are. You may have contact there. No hard and fast truth. If anybody has told you not to leave out all this, I think they have not been able to explain fully what it meant.
You just answered my question before I asked.
No, the facts remain, you see, that will appear. If you have got something very valuable, you still go on with iron work, it is your value. It has its value. These are good actions. I am not underrating them. But these are meant for the preparation of the ground. Use your good fortune and your search after God. God has given you a step further. It is God who has given it. And I always tell this, if God manifests in man who can give you a contact with him. So you have to love all, you see. Your friends, tell them you have found something else which was hidden before in our scripture. They will come round. If you have to just learn to hate them, then where's the love? You say love God, love everybody. But don't be led away, mind that. You are having something else, don't leave it for the sake of. What we do? We stick to the outer casing of walnut and ignore the kernel. But don't do that. But I made no religion. Definitely. And now I am going to make any religion. Now, to me, anybody does it, it is. He is going astray, the point, I tell you. This is a truth which is one, has been experienced by one and all. Ever since the world came. Though they knew the truth, they gave us that way. This question was put to my master. He says, where is Khanna? Where is Khanna? Why should he not be here? People will be referring to him. Well, I am telling something very important question. It has been explained already so many times, and perhaps you know already, but this is a question here. That we should not ignore the kernel for sticking by sticking to the outer covering of the walnut. Make the best use of it. You are not to hate anybody. And especially in the school where you have been, If you got something higher in the very school that the minister do not know, surely I am not exaggerating. I have come in contact with the ministers of all religions. Majority of them, they are ignorant about these higher things. And that is why they never mentioned. So for that you can tell us that there is something more in our own scriptures. See? So in that case, they will also come out. Not change the religion now to follow nor the least, but a further step in their own, again in their own scripture. So love for all those who are going on the higher, but others, also God is in them. If you hate them, then who will be? When you found a candle of light, put it not under a bushel, but place it where it can attract the attention of other seekers. So those who are, you are in some church, yeah, I am in some church. If my brothers over there are ignorant, I must offer it in our own scripture. See? So you have to love for no hatred for none. But don't ignore the diamond work. Replace it by the copper or the iron or the silver. This is what I mean to say. I think that point is clear, sir. I tell you honestly, even the bishops do not know what is what. Majority of all religions, not I am telling of the Christians only, but other religions too. Now men of other religions, they direct them to me. Father, you know, go to him. They are supposed to be knowing God. If they know God, they must give up. They simply give you go on with the first step. That will do. Well, that is wrong, I tell you honestly. If you have only one farm and go on like that, well, a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. Have love for them. But if you don't love them, how will he hear you? By love, you can make anybody understand. By hatred, you can. Nobody will come near you. You will be defaming the work of your own movement. Revival, I would say, not movement, you see. Of the old truth we have forgotten. I think this point is very clear. Yes. Yes, please. As regards reading of scripture. What I have written, I have given a digest of the cream of the inner way up, as given by all scripture. To the best I know, theoretically, by parallel study of religions and practically. So that is a cream with you. You may read them first. If anything on that, I give reference to other scriptures too. You can quote here, such and such also say that. Let it be basic principle which guides you direct. And then you quote, Lord Krishna says so, Christ says so, Buddha says so. But don't make the basis though, because they also form part of other things too. You see? They got their own rituals, everything. They lay sometimes, on account of ignorance, too much importance to the preparatory step not mentioned later. So we have been given what is the digest or the cream, you see. That is your preference. As regards power for the masters, let there be no misunderstanding about it. Dr. Johnson was a missionary. He first went to India to find somebody and could not have went to preach. Came back twice. When he went, he had the good fortune to meet our master. He sat at his feet, learned something for 7 years, 6 years. I was there too. Then he wrote this part of manuscript for him. His spirit was the same as a missionary. Well, Muslims don't know anything, Sikhs don't know anything, Hindus are wrong, such and such men are wrong, this is a very dreadful. So 3 copies are made out of that. One was given to me, one was given to Sardar Bahadur Jagat Singh, third was given to Professor Jagmohan Lal. So Professor Jagmohan Lal never returned the manuscript. Sardar Bahadur returned with few pages with too many strictures. He would not listen. If you say any man, you are blind, he won't listen. You simply ask me, well, dear son, when you lose your eyesight, he will listen to you. Now remains the whole thing, the world on my shoulder. I tell my master that it is like that, he has done it in a mission way. Well, mission, you know, that is wrong, that is ours is the only way, and all others are wrong, this and that. So you may point out to him, I went to him. I told him, look here, dear Dr. Johnson, you have done splendid work in bringing out this manuscript, but it appears here and there you are not in the full law of things. That is why you have not been able to do full justice to the work. I would like to know. Then I gave them from the Hindu, from the Mormon literature, from all others, quotations and everything. He revised it. After we on those lines. Whatever you have given though, there are some stars there though, anyhow, that was at that. When that was revised, that never came to me. After we. But he revised the other part, you see, that is quite, I think, palatable. About this Christianity portion, I told him, you, Dr. Johnson, you must polish it down. It is put in a very drastic way. What did he say, you see? He said, well, my brothers in the West won't wake up until I say that way. That which is spirit was there. So he did not revise it. I found the Christian do not relish that part. That you're very in a drastic way, you see. Now they have revised that. But the revised copy has been issued. So this is the true state of affairs. Now it is up to you to do what you like. Have something what you got very direct and may refer to others. You may utilize the other one. So other parts are written in the Christianity for still people don't like it. I think one man was going to be initiated. When he read that thing, he threw away the book and said, I don't like to be initiated. He says, what is the part of the initiation of the science, you see? So you may read other books if they are on the point. Then you have got something cut and dyed, you see. The first thing. You may refer to others, there is no harm. Yes, what do you want to say?
I was going to
say, regarding
to our diet master. Yes? I'm trying to explain, where do we
stand on the serums and shots and all that sort of thing? Serum? From the injections. Hormones. Well, look here, there are ways of treatment, you see. If there is something direct on the subject that is not permissible, you avoid it, that's all what can be done. Life cannot be prolonged by any man, by any doctor. That is all you fix up. But you can help it in the other way. And moreover, you will find that the very minimum, then the whole homeopathy should go to war. Because that is people didn't require, you see. The question is about the intoxication that gives. That very minimum one drop can be intoxication. But the other way it is too much good. So personally don't take it for the personal relishing or anything like that. Injection is also based on the principle of homeopathy. Little thing play up the whole blood. Avoid as much as you possible by having recourse to others. If there is no other alternative, just let us say. Yes?
Master, I know this really shouldn't happen to people who are seriously dedicated to you, but I would like for you to explain how best to deal with and avert personality clashes which periodically occur. But I would like a little elaboration on that because it does occur.
You know that I always enjoin to keep diaries for self-introspection for one and all, including group leaders and everybody. Yes? If we live up to that, there can be no conflict. First thing is, don't think evil of others. Non-violent. By your harsh words. You see? That is the main cause of creating hatred. You can either just tell an old blind man, and then you ask him, when did you lose your sight? There is a difference between the two, isn't it? One is harming, the other is not. Similarly, if you find anything wrong in somebody, tell him privately, dear friend, this is done not appropriately. And don't broadcast it, don't make parties, don't go by the ears and the eyes of others. What we do? First we do something, who are attached with you, they form a party. And those are carried tales to others. Like what you say, that diseases arise by infection, you see. That infection goes out, their party. You keep your own diary, but don't think of evil, don't hear evil of others, don't see evil of others, don't speak evil of others. Then naturally, if there's anything wrong with others, find out friendly. I think this is the main cause. We simply know, wait, I guess. We simply see, well, we are in authority. We will say, I have turned you out. Well, who are you to turn anybody out? This is the satsang of the master. All I tell you for the sake of the master, if anybody says, one or two, the initiate or anybody, well, that is not following the instructions of the master. Those in charge, placed in charge, as group leaders, they are given the children for their custody and help. Mm-hmm. And also, you love one another. If you love another, love knows arrows may creep up. But love knows forgiveness and forgetfulness. I think you follow this very principle, there can be nothing. Our words should be kind. Kind words don't cost us anything, but kind words must be imbued with the humility. Sometimes we, in our own galleys, I can do, I can do these things. Well, these are the things we create out of us. You give, appreciate others' effort, whatever effort is made, more or less. If you give appreciation, the other man is encouraged to help you. He may have the flaws. Those flaws may be pointed out separately, privately, not broadcasted like, because that will make parties, you see. So that is the cause of all friction, which has risen in the past, may arise in the future. If you love Master, you attend satsang for the sake of the Master. The groups in charge should treat you like mothers, I would say. See? They are not masters, but they have been selected to help you. They also may have some flaws, you see. But the way is not to go away privately because you question that this appears not. I hope you will hear me. Even if you friendly, one or the other, if you tell them privately this is not, or that what is done cannot be undone, for anybody, that is your own, mistake. That has nothing to do with the teachings of the Master. It is only because you don't follow it, all this friction. If you follow, love Master and all those who go to him, love him. Love knows service and sacrifice. If anything happens, love beautifies everything. Love knows forgiveness and forgetfulness, isn't it? So even if you follow this very principle, there can be no like that. So as I told you, if you find anything, go to him privately and clarify. You see? Don't block them. That makes parties better. Don't hear through the ears of others, don't see through the eyes of others. If only that was done, you see. Group leaders are there to help, you see. They have great responsibility. All the same, they are helping you. Just sit together, make arrangements, sacrifice their time, their money sometimes, and also labor. They don't want anything returned. But they are, I tell you, they clearly give you understand that master is master, they are not master. Don't mistake that. This is a clarifier. If there is anything, when one man sees, God gives him eye to see the God and the Master is everything. Well, her eyes have been opened. His eye has been opened. He sees that way. Then he said, why don't you go like that? As I explained to you, everything has its value, you see. Some are of higher value, some are of lower. Fact remains like that. So I appreciate, you see, all of you who are group leaders and others, to just think that way. You sacrifice your time, your something, for what? For higher purpose, to know God. Suppose if there is resentment between the two, he leaves the place and goes away. Then, well, this is not part of the science, you see. Because we are all not perfect as yet, you see, we are on the way. Some are more, some less, the others less. But you make an allowance for that, you see. Yes, please. But don't forget to attend your group meetings. Mind that. If you leave away that, then you led away. Because there the question is, the lesson is revived. Mind that. You go to church, I don't mind.
Learn mind.
Yes. If you go there, I tell you one thing more. If you find truth anywhere else, tell me, I will also follow you. That's all. Yes,
Master, something very unusual.
Yes, sir.
Happened to me last night at 1 o'clock when I was sleeping.
Yes.
I wake up and heard your voice calling my name.
Yes.
Very, very strong.
Yes, sir.
Is that bad or good? I know it's bad because I couldn't sleep all night. I really ask you because your voice is so... I never heard anything in my life before, except knocking on the doors or things like that. But your voice was so clear, calling that the whole room was like a sun.
Sure, sir. I tell you now, as I've said many times, Son of Man is not the Master. Son of Man is a human poet at which that God is the Master only who works there. And it is that God power which goes round awakens all those who are initiated. And also, those who have got some background even appears to them, although they do not know who is who, you see. This is God power. When the man is initiated, that Master power or God power resides with him. Call it Christ power or Guru power. And is ever on the guide to bring him up. If we cannot say to him, he will be guiding you, speaking to you by manifesting himself and otherwise. Once or twice, four times, we don't hear, you lose your chance. But still he is there. Whenever you turn your face to him, he is there.
Master, your voice was very clear, and after that, since I couldn't sleep all night, I had very funny and different things in the room, but I just thought it was...
That the best thing was sit in meditation, that's all. It happens sometimes, those who have not seen the form of the Master out of us, they never heard about him for years before they are having the manifestation of that form. And they are wondering what is that. Then when they met me, oh, I saw you 3 years back. Well, it is God power that appears. We are all in the make. That's all. Right, in you. In scriptures, we sometimes find the word soul is dead. In Christian literature also, and others too. What do they mean? Guru Nanak says, only he is alive, O Nanak, who is conscious, become conscious of the divine plan, who knows, sees God. All others are dead. You follow me? Though your attention is identified with all outside things that you consider to be a death, but really not dead. You see? This is what is meant by all scriptures. Soul is never dead. But when it's your whole attention is absorbed in outer things, material things, it is defined as dead. If you will die, it is already there, but awakens. Let's go.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listen to is called The Things Love Knows. It was given at the Perrin home on January 7, 1964, in Miami, Florida. Our reader tonight is Claire Stannard.
I'm continuing reading It Is a Noble Search, and in this talk, Master is explaining a shabd by Guru Amar Das. No sleep for the eyes, no rest for the joints. He did not come and sent no message. How can a person have peace unless he sees his beloved? There is just deep despair and yearning in his soul. On this subject, one poet has observed, O mathematicians, you have calculated how long the day, the night, the year. How long is the night for that anguished heart which cries for its beloved? One cannot expect fruit on the tree when even the flowers have not yet formed. Whosoever got him did so with tears. Could he be got with laughter and joy, none would be without him. Through sobs which rack the body, one receives the Lord. The water from the eyes washes away the sins of many, many lives. The accounts are washed clean. Without seeing the beloved, sleep does not come. The separation has now become unbearable. When the seeker goes through this, he is often advised by others to cease the searching and desiring for God. But Guru Amar Das replied, Do not utter such words, for even in this pain there is a sweetness. Then, after crying in vain for so long, the soul becomes both desperate and helpless, and she appeals to the masters. O masters, you go to God daily. My voice cannot reach so far. Take this message and tell him, O Lord, she is pining with the separation from you. She does not know the road which leads to you, and her voice does not reach you, so she is sending this message. Please tell him that night and day she is crying with flowing tears and cannot exist any more without the beloved. She cannot fly, for she has no wings and does not know the way. How can she reach you? Please tell him my condition. A true seeker reaches this condition. This cobra of separation has filled my mind and cannot be controlled by any mantra. The would-be lover cannot remain alive, for if he does, he will be in a baffled state of mind. We must all pass through this condition. Ramakrishna Paramhans has said that if a man could remember God every second for 3 days perpetually, then quite definitely that would be his last day on earth. After all, he is residing within us, and if he sees that child desires him so intently that it is writhing in agony, then what would a loving father do? He makes the arrangements that the child may come into contact with himself, wherever he is manifested. A blind man cannot catch one with sight. He must be led. And what should be the attitude of a true seeker? He should have no trickery or scheming in his mind, no cunning speeches. He should be anxious to serve selflessly. Have respect without pretense, and a real humility in his heart. Then the Guru himself will come. Without such sincere approach, there is no real access to God. Without seeing the beloved, sleep does not come. Without the Nam, there is only misery. Desires are burned, but the hunger remains. When the Sadguru came, he came without my effort. There is only one cure. In the lives of the saints, you will find many anecdotes illustrating this point. For instance, during the life of Lord Krishna, we find that certain of his disciples lived close to him physically, and he once had to leave them for several months. They became very unhappy at the separation and sent him many messages about their tearful plight. So Lord Krishna sent his trusted disciple Udo, telling him to console the unhappy ones by comforting and enlightening words. So Udo lovingly explained that Lord Krishna was not far from them, but indeed closer than their very souls, and therefore there was really no separation and no cause for weeping. They listened to these words, and many more in his effort to satisfy them, but finally they replied, "O Lord, the words you have uttered are all true, but kindly tell us this. The eyes that are dim with yearning to see the player of the flute, what cure have you got for that condition? Kindly repeat this question to Lord Krishna himself and get the cure from him." So there is no cure for such a pathetic state, but the sight of the Lord himself. He says, "Without the Nam, there is only misery. When the Satguru came, he came without my effort." Nanak says, "O Nanak, the world is so unhappy. Some have physical suffering, some mental, some have poverty, etc. All are in misery of one kind or another. Only he is happy who is dependent on the Nam. Nam is the very bread and water of life. He whose soul is spiritually strong will easily carry around even a broken down old body. On the spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both." Kabir Sahib says, "I have not seen a single happy soul in this physical form. Whoever I saw was unhappy. Whosoever I saw was unhappy." Tulsi Sahib says a similar thing. "Everyone has some unhappiness or another. Is there any cure? They say that one who serves the master is happy. Without the Nam, the fire of desire is daily consuming the people. Anyone can give empty words, but the connection and the direction, which in practice is the planting of such a seed of true desire, a sip of which will quench the thirst forever, only a true master can give. The masters have shown very clearly in the holy scriptures that after getting the Nam power of the Lord, then nothing else is needed. Without great good fortune, you cannot get the Nam. I was so tired doing the outer practices." He did all the outer devotions, including the most difficult sadhanas practices. In fact, there was nothing he did not do in his efforts to realize God. The Vedas have mentioned Trigun, third stage. Three are mentioned in the Vedas, but on this path we have to go beyond these three, even beyond Brahmand. Brahmand controls Pind, And, and Brahmand, the physical, astral, and causal regions. And as long as we do not transcend Trigun, the mind center does not break. The circle of mentality goes on revolving, and reading, writing, and thinking continues under the influence in which we live. Unless we surmount this level, the wheel of life goes on rotating, and so does our coming and going in earthly existence. The cure? Get connected with the Guru's teaching and receive salvation. The Guru's teaching, the holy Nam, is also called light and sound, the same sun that is in Brahmand, and the same sound that was given to Lord Krishna by Ingris Rishi. Guru Amar Das Ji also tells us, "If you get the Guru's pleasure, then you have everything. And the words of the Guru bring great serenity to the mind." Out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. Whatever is the state of mind at the time, so the speech will have similar effects on others. If the mind is filled with anger, lust, greed, etc., even though these thoughts be hidden behind sweet words, yet the effect produced will be drastic. The breeze which passes through fire will bring heat, and on the other hand, that which passes through ice will bring coolness. There is great charging in the Master's words. Due to his elevated condition, there is a sweet fragrance radiating from him. If you visit a perfumery, though you may buy nothing, yet will you freely enjoy the delightful perfume permeating the atmosphere. A saint's name is glorified throughout the four corners of the earth. He may or may not declare himself, but his radiation is spread everywhere. O Nanak, the Guru Mukh is a rarity. It is seldom one meets such a personality, but the world is not without them. He is our true friend, meeting whom all doubts are erased and right understanding established in our hearts. He who can do this is a friend indeed. Such people have always been hard to find, but when they do come, through radiation, a flood of spirituality pervades the world. Today there is great awakening beginning. Some have got the answer, some have not. But the search to solve the mystery of life has been born all over the world. The day that question arises in the mind is the greatest day of one's life. For once it is born, it does not succumb until it is satisfied. This was Guru Amar Das's life, which I have placed before you. All the words of the masters have deep meaning in them, and this was based on his own life's experience. Paltu Sahib says, "Under the sky is an upside-down well in which a lamp is burning without wick or oil. Through the light of this lamp vibrates a voice. Who sees and hears this? He who goes into samadhi, deep meditation. The true masters tell only of that which they see, and furthermore they give the seeker something to start with, and then go on to increase what they have given. So one should remain in one's own religion, for religions have been made with noble purpose. No one is high and no one is low, but because of our own narrow-mindedness, brother has been separated from brother. This is all due to lack of true masters. Noble is the hangman, for God resides in his heart." When Ravi Das was asked if he was a cobbler, he replied, "That will be seen according to the person's eyes and attitude. Whoever approaches a master with full devotion and humility will get the rareness of the gift. After getting the human form, it is our hereditary right to realize God. Of course, if we do not make the best use of our life, then who is to blame? Read the words of the masters, and you will find that they do not come here to rupture any religion, neither do they make new religions. Are there not enough already to serve mankind? Basically, the teachings are the same in all religions, and the masters come to revive them, for we have forgotten the old, old truth. When that happens, the very facts which we have read and reread suddenly start to appeal to those who are more awakened and have more awareness. The masters do not teach by inference. They give a direct talk. It matters not to which religion you belong. If the light is burning within you, all is well. A true master is one who brings everyone together. With right understanding, man and man become one, for each has a soul, and that soul is of the same essence as that of God, the life sustainer of all things. If all men truly realized this, then who would hate their fellow man? And who would cheat or take another's goods? The police and military forces would become superfluous, for man's very neighbor would be his protector. Mahatma Gandhi wished fervently to see such a state of true living, which he called Ram Rajya, God's kingdom on earth. Only by keenly following the teachings of the great masters can this be possible. My friends, no matter in which town or country you live, you should live as true brothers and sisters of the one Father. The morals of all daughters and daughters-in-law, their protection and welfare should be your concern, for in this will be your own family's protection. Live in love for one another. If husband and wife are happy, loving, and loyal together, then no one and nothing can come between them. Similarly, if the people of any country are one in each other, then no power or politics can disturb their peaceful living. All laws are for the lawless. If you are good, nothing touches you. Each one of you should make your life a model, and you will see that the whole world will have peace and happiness. Lack of this simple existence is bringing unhappiness everywhere. As long as the higher contact is not made, the world's misery will not be resolved. As it stands, whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. When one hears the master's stories from their own lips, it is more enjoyable. As they have journeyed, so can we, but the road is the same and it leads to the same place. Mansur, another saint, says, "If you would realize him, place your head on the guillotine." Also Christ said, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." They mean we should daily leave the body at will, to die daily. And this is the only way. Just see, only by talking about these things so much peace enters our hearts. How much more happiness will we gain through true realization, received through the radiation from a perfect master. So make your life an example of the teachings you follow. Live up to them. If you have already got the connection, take the utmost care of it and value it. If you have a strong desire to get it, then God Himself will make the arrangements for you. When you get the contact with the Holy Nam, remember, it is the soul's very food. Furthermore, introspect your daily thoughts and actions and see where you have reached. Many ages have passed by since you were first given a human form, and many years have passed since you joined some religion. Now consider, to where have you gotten? As long as inner contact is not established and practiced daily, and you do not avoid all that may lead you away from it through self-introspection, then wherever you have reached up to now will be hidden by a dark curtain, and your path of progress will be obstructed. That concludes the talk called "It is a Noble Search." And in the time that's left, I will read The Cage of the Soul, published in September 1970, Satsangesh. Man has got himself so enmeshed in mind and the outgoing faculties that his release from them can only be brought about by struggle and perseverance. His plight is, in a way, similar to that of a bird that has been kept in a cage for so many years. Even if you should open the door of the cage, the bird will be loath to fly out. Instead, it will fly from one side of the cage to the other, clinging with its talons to the wire mesh, but it does not wish to be free and fly out through the open door of the cage. Similarly, the soul has become so attached to the body and the outgoing faculties that it clings to outside things and does not wish to let go of them. It does not wish to fly through the door that has been opened by the Master at the time of holy initiation, at the threshold of which the radiant form of the Master is patiently waiting to receive the child disciple. True discipleship does not start until one has risen above body consciousness. It is from this point that the disciple will feel not only comfort, but will begin to experience the joy and bliss that awaits him in the beyond. He will have as his companion the charming, radiant form of the Master, who is ever at hand to impart the guidance that is so necessary in order to avoid the pitfalls on the way. Until this point is reached, the disciple is, as it were, on probation, but such probation that cannot be severe. It is during this probationary period that the soul will feel some discomfort. It has become so besmeared with the dirt of the senses that it has lost its original purity of heart and is not fit to be raised up out of the prison house of the body. Even though the door has been opened, it is so attached to the things of the outside world that it does not wish to be free. It is only when the soul begins to regain its original purity of heart and mind that it can at last want to be free of the desires of the flesh and outward attachments. The loving Master tries to avoid all possible discomfort to the child disciple by explaining what are the vices to be avoided and the virtues to be developed in order to regain this purity. Unfortunately, more often than not, the words of the Master do not sink in, and little or no action is taken by the disciple to amend his ways. Therefore, the Master Power must take firmer measures to bring home to the disciple the importance of the truths that have been explained in words. Hence, the discomfort that is sometimes felt by the dear ones in their day-to-day living. If implicit obedience would be given to the commandments of the Master, all difficulties and discomforts would vanish. If a child gets itself so dirty that the only way the mother can wash it clean is by using a scrubbing brush, can it be said that the child will feel comfortable during the scrubbing process? It will only feel comfortable after the scrubbing has ceased, and it is shining, clean, and pure. Help and protection is always extended by the Master to his followers. He looks after their comforts in every way, both outer and inner. Even the effects of the reactions of the past, from the gallows to an ordinary pinprick, so much concession is given. As the mother sacrifices everything for the sake of her child, even so does the Master sacrifice everything for the sake of his children. The follower, in fact, does not dream of what the Master does for him. He fills his followers with his own thought, with his own life impulses. When we remember him, he remembers us with all his heart and soul. He is not the body. He is the Word personified, the Word made flesh. To get the full benefit of the Master Power, the disciple must develop receptivity. It is impossible to develop receptivity until implicit obedience is given to the commandments of the Master. When you pay heed to the Master's commandments, then that is a sign that you are growing in love for him. And the more you grow in love for him, the more receptivity you will develop. When you begin to develop this receptivity, all discomfort will vanish, and you will truly begin to tread the path in the firm assurance that you are on the right way, together with the loving companionship of one who will demonstrate more and more his greatness and his power on each step of the way, until you find that it is the very God himself who is your guide and mentor, who will never leave you until he has safely escorted you back to the true home of the Father. While on the way, one of the main functions of the Master is to wind up the back karmas of the disciple. It is through conscious contact with the sound current only that the karmas of back lives can be burnt away. This process is started at the time of holy initiation, at which time the disciple is given a contact with the light and sound principle, or God into expression power. To avoid opening a new account of bad deeds, the disciple is enjoined to lead a clean life and weed out all imperfections in him by self-introspection from day to day. This is the sublime principle behind keeping the diary, which the disciple is asked to maintain in order to become aware of the shortcomings which stand in his way to God. Ego is the self-assertive principle in man that makes him feel that I do this or I do that. When one rises above body consciousness and knows himself, and he becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, he sees that he is not the doer, but is a mere puppet in the hands of God. He will cease to be responsible for all his actions and will become Jivan Mukta, or a free soul. The ego in man is part of the grand delusion that he is laboring under. It will cease to act or will be nullified only when a great degree of purity has been attained by the disciple, in which all of his actions will reflect the Master in him. Like Christ, he will proclaim, I and my Father are one. All service that one does, seemingly to others, is to your own self. When you develop this attitude, you will develop a state of selflessness. And that concludes that talk. We have just a moment left, and I will read a little paragraph from The Way of Love. My heart goes out to all you dear ones. You see, distance is no barrier for the Master Power, and anywhere the yearning souls would pray for his guidance, he would materialize and bless you through and through. Time and tide wait for no man. Make hay while the sun shines. You should always high on your holy path, irrespective of worldly gains or losses. You will appreciate that after all, everything is to be left behind at the final hour of death, and only the holy Nam will accompany us into the beyond. You know very well the supreme importance of regular meditations. The more you are developed while living here, the more of the inner journey is covered in the beyond. Know it for certain that you are here in this mortal world only for enjoying the rare bliss of holy Nam. God and Master, God and man, first, all else secondary. It is the bread of life which must be partaken regularly so that your souls may become strong enough to pass through the vicissitudes of physical life. Love is the panacea for all ills. Please give up all remorse and resentment and live cheerfully. You should remember that nothing binds the human soul more than drooping spirits of morbidity. Always keep cheerful, resigning yourselves to the will and the pleasure of the Master. You should know it for certain that you are under the gracious protection of the Master Power, and he is ever with you through and through. All right. I read first, It is a Noble Search, and that concluded three readings of that talk. It was published in the January 1971 issue of Satsang Vaish. Then I read The Cage of the Soul from September 1970 Satsang Vaish. And then I read a small excerpt from The Way of Love from November 1970, Satsang Desh. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, Claire, for reading Master's gracious, inspiring words. There were 54 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your valuable guidance and blessings.
So thank you all of my, for your patient hearing, what I've come to know, what I should show you. I'll carry my sweet remembrance of you all and pray God may take you back home. That's all I can say, the best wishes I can have for all of you.